Hi guys, welcome back to We Should Talk, a pop culture interview series from In the Know. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the podcast we have Carl Radke from Summer House. You know, I think about people on Bravo who have shown the most growth, who we've kind of been there for the ups and downs along the way. Carl is definitely at the top of that list. You know, I've interviewed him almost every season of this show, and this interview that we just had, you know, we went on for almost 40 minutes. It's one of the most engaged, thoughtful conversations I've ever had with him, probably the most. And he just seems like he's in such a great place. Him and Lindsay are very happy. And I think, you know, I think when you're watching the show right now, it seems like we're at this place where, like, so much is broken. There's so much fractured in this group, perhaps past the point of no return. But after talking with him, I don't think that's necessarily the case. You know, it sounds like there's some sort of resolution that happens at the reunion, with everything. I don't think that's the case with Lindsay and Danielle, just from certain clues that I've been picking up on. But, you know, Carl had some really incredible answers, especially as it came to his proposal and sort of who he told and who he didn't tell. You know, I think there's a lot that people, that wasn't shown on the show, that people don't take into consideration when they're discussing this. You know, I asked him point blank, why didn't he tell Danielle, and does he regret not doing so? And he had some great answers there. Got a lot of background information on both the proposal and him being hospitalized the day before. You know, we went long on that, and then we also discussed him and Kyle, and it sounds like there's a lot of hope for them moving forward. They've really gotten to a settled place, and I think that, you know, they went to Everett's wedding, Lindsay's ex, from early on in Summer House's run. They went to his wedding in Ireland a couple weeks ago, and Kyle and Amanda were there, Carl and Lindsay were there, and it sounds like they had a great time together. They hung out after hours, they had some emotional conversations, they danced, and that to me shows a lot of hope for sort of the core of this group and how they move forward. And so, you know, I think that viewers might feel like, okay, what's going to happen with Summer House? Like, do they need a big shakeup? And maybe they do, but also I think there is a possibility that a lot of these people can still move forward together and find a way, find a path forward. So I loved my conversation with Carl, one of my favorite interviews in a while, and I think you guys will enjoy it too. So keep listening for my interview with Carl Radke from Summer House. Tune in to Summer House on Mondays at 9 p.m. on Bravo. And if you enjoyed our conversation, please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, guys. All right, so we're here with Carl Radke from Summer House. Carl, it has been a long season. How are you doing? Thanks for being here. But first, how are you doing?
I'm in good spirits. You know, I just got back from Florida with Lindsay's family. We were in the Keys for a couple of days. And prior to that, we were actually at a good friend of ours' wedding. So we've had a good couple of days. Obviously, you know, the engagement episodes have been playing the last couple of weeks. I'm hanging in there. I'm mm-hmm. really happy to see some of it play back, and it's very emotional. But some of it definitely has been hard. But you can see the smile on my face. I'm in good spirits today. So
good. I'm glad to catch you on a good day. Yeah, there we go. And I'm assuming that kind of, you guys have been traveling a lot. I assume that kind of gets you out of the bubble of, like, in New York, paying attention to social media, watching the episodes. Like, does that help with this experience of watching it all back?
I mean, I think it does. You know, I've learned over the years, you know, how to kind of consume our show. You know, I think the first three seasons, like, I mean, a lot of us would get together and watch it and drink. And
I remember that.
go on Twitter, go on social media, and you're like, you know, clapping back at people. And I've learned over the last, at least since season 5, just dealing with a lot of really personal things that have been very, you know, tough publicly. But, you know, I've watched it on my own time. But I think getting out of the city, spending time with friends and family and people that really know you for who you are, mm-hmm. Really helps a lot. I mean, obviously, I'm so proud of being on Summer House, but it's nice when you're just with friends and family where we don't talk about the show, or we don't talk about, you know, some of the drama going on. So yeah, being away for a week was just what I needed. I'm actually leaving again this afternoon. I'm surprising a friend for his dental school graduation. So
amazing. I love that. That's so fun. All right. So let's get into, the most recent episode was the engagement episode. And, you know, again, it's been a long season, but that episode's so fresh. And I guess I'm curious first, you know, what did the experience of being on the ground that day doing the proposal, how does that compare to sort of what we saw and in the experience for you watching that back?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny. Like, I really don't think people truly, truly will ever understand all the things that I tried to do and went to do and really focused on making this as special as possible. But, you know, it started back in, literally in Winter House. I was sitting on the lake ice fishing with Luke and Kyle. And I had mentioned, you know, I'm really serious about Lindsay. They actually didn't show that aspect of it. They showed, you know, me talking about my relationship, but I kind of planted the seed then because I really felt very confident about it. And then at the end of May, I literally drove out to the Hamptons. I was doing some Loverboy stuff and I stopped in at Dockers, which is a restaurant we love, yeah. Lindsay loves. And the owner, Larry, is a great guy, but he doesn't allow filming on like busy weekends because it's very disruptive. And, you know, it just can be too much for his staff to deal with. So he's always been like, we love you guys, but come like Sunday afternoon or come during the day.
Late night, right.
Which, you know, so I sat down with him and I was point blank. I said, Larry, like, I want to get engaged to Lindsay this summer. I want to have somewhere to take her after and maybe surprise her with a few friends or family. So he was very gracious and very supportive. And that was at the end of May. Then early June, I met with the jeweler, Nicole Rose. She has an office here in the jewelry district. We sat down, we looked at different, you know, options and put some money down and made a decision. And then she was traveling basically till August. So I couldn't even get the ring until then, which was fine. Like, I needed more time to plan. Yeah. Wanted the summer to get started. And then truthfully, you know, for the next, I think, couple months, it was kind of like figuring out our way in the house and trying to just keep moving forward and trying to be, you know, happy, because I really had hoped that we could do an engagement in the Hamptons. I just, that's where Lindsay and I, you know, really have built our friendship and our foundation. And then obviously the last 2 years, just our relationship and our romance, you know, I just thought it'd be really special to do something on the beach. So there was a period of time where I was actually really toying with, is this something we should do for the audience? Like, should right. I just do this privately? But, you know, I actually talked to my mom, I talked to my stepdad even, and, you know, we've been sharing our lives for 7 years.
Exactly.
You know, good, the bad, the ugly. I know I just posted it on Instagram the other day, but I mean, no joke, like Lindsay and I and a few others, Kyle, Amanda, have really bared it all on this program. And the thought of not maybe showing some of that next step of our chapter, I was like, this is something that's going to live on forever. We're going to have this memory. And I thought it'd be really cool to like do it in the Hamptons and incorporate the show if we could. Mm-hmm. So I shared with, you know, some of our, you know, behind the scenes folks what I was hoping to do and trying to figure out when the right weekend would be. But the big part of it was talking to her parents. And I called her father. It was probably early August. I placed mm-hmm. the call actually in Pittsburgh on a Loverboy trip. Nervous as hell, called him at like 8 a.m. And I said, hey, you know, I just wanted to chat with you. I've, you know, want to ask Lindsay to marry me. Just wanted to get your kind of, you know, formal approval. And we had a really, really nice conversation. He was very supportive. I've known her father since like 2018. We met as friends.
Right.
And having their support, and her stepmother was on the phone call as well. I was crying in the airport terminal, 8:30 in the morning before I boarded my flight back to New York. But once I got their approval, then I started thinking, okay, if I'm going to do this, how can I make this as real as possible? And I've been inspired by other friends who've gotten engaged that had, you know, their mom and dad were there right after, or some other friends were there. So I go, okay, why don't I ask them to see if they can come to the Hamptons? Hmm. And they were the one sticking point to see when they could come, and they could come on August 27th. So they were locked in. Then from that point, it was like, okay, I got to figure out how I can make this airtight, secret, no one knows. Because Lindsay's really intuitive.
Of course. Yeah, she's so savvy. She knows, she can pick up on the cues. Come on.
Yeah. And I thought, honestly, Lindsay, if she had another career, she'd be a detective, because she would. And she knows that I say that. She's definitely very, she picks up on stuff. She's not easy to hide from. And yeah, like I did all of that I could. I thought that made sense to really keep it a surprise. So fast forward a couple of weeks, it's the middle of August. I have now told Kyle. He was actually sitting on this couch in our apartment at the housewarming. Yeah. And I was showing him the ring. And those moments were really special. Like, I watched that back with Kyle, and it, you know, it really,
that's
makes
cool.
Me, yeah, like having his support and having his confidence boost, because I know he's been down that road, you know, and how difficult and scary it can be, especially just in general, but the cameras being there and all this, yeah, pressure of it. But having his support was great. So Kyle knew about it. I talked to Andrea about it. And then I asked Chris Leone, our friend who's also a photographer. I thought this would be a great way to kind of get his support and also get his photography skills and capture kind of that surprise moment. But leading up, this is the Wednesday before I'm getting engaged. Okay. They didn't use this on Summer House, but Chris and I were supposed to get coffee, and okay, I ended up going to Nicole Rose's jewelry office, which they do show me looking at the ring, because I had to figure out a way to lie to Lindsay about where I'm going Wednesday afternoon. So I told Chris, I go, hey, dude, we're getting espresso this afternoon. Wink, wink. And then, you know, I had had a lot of folks that I really, that were involved on the Bravo side production wise. And it was just, there was a lot of pressure. I was feeling so, you know, so much like, okay, I want this to go right. I want her to be surprised. So I, you know, I think I have it all squared away. We go to a concert the next day in Long Island at Jones Beach.
Okay.
It was Elle King and Chris Stapleton performing.
Good duo.
Huge fans of Elle and Chris. And Lindsay and I had had a really busy day. I was driving out to the driving out to the concert. I was drinking Red Bulls. I didn't drink a lot of water. Lo and behold, like a few hours into the concert, I got incredibly lightheaded and dizzy. And I literally, my knees were shaking and I, you know, I don't drink alcohol. I wasn't doing any drugs. I just was like exhausted and dehydrated. But I basically, Lindsay found a wheelchair that I basically collapsed and fell into. And then they wheeled me out of the stadium. Then I had to go to the ER because they were so concerned about my heart rate. Lo and behold, it was literally just stress, dehydration. That next day, I'm still in the hospital Friday at noon. And I'm like, I've got the ring in the car. Lindsay still has no idea what's going on. She's being so supportive at the hospital, making sure I'm okay. And we call, you know, we call the rest of the house, like, hey, like, I'm still in the hospital. Like, I can't make it out there tonight.
Was there a moment where, you were like, am I even going to do this weekend anymore?
Well, there is something that wasn't even shown. I mean, the previous weekend, there was a lot of drama surrounding me and Lindsay and the rest of the house. And there was a kind of a big blow up in the kitchen where I kind of just was like, guys, like, we need to stop, like just trying to kind of settle it.
Yeah.
And Lindsay was really upset and almost kind of hinting that she was like, I don't know if I want to come back next weekend. But I was like, no, we're coming. Like, we're coming.
We're coming.
You know, let's work through this. And luckily, you know, she was, after a day or two, we were kind of, okay, let's go back out. Let's just keep moving forward. Let's keep trying to have fun. And then, yeah, like that Friday, getting out of the hospital, I was like, okay, once we're out, I'm like, I think we can still pull this off. Her parents are still coming. I got a good night's sleep that Friday night. We stayed at a friend's in the Hamptons. And then we arrived that Saturday at the house. And that was the same day that, you know, I had told the group, everybody thought we were going to a bonfire on the beach. That was the hook. And then after bonfire, we were going to Dockers as a group for dinner. So the theme of dress was always going to be elevated beach. Girls are going to want to wear something a little nicer because we're going out to dinner after. That's how the
whole so the shoulder pads aren't an indication that Lindsay knew necessarily.
The comedy is this. I mean, I think it's pretty hilarious that Paige told her to wear that. If you watch the scenes back, Lindsay was like, hey, should I wear this one or that one? And
right.
Paige tells her to wear it and then gives her a hard time about her shoulder pads, which I thought she looked beautiful. She had no idea.
That's great.
She had no idea, but literally there was so much to try and make sure that she didn't know. I asked her earlier in the week about getting her nails. Like, are you getting your nails done? She's like, no, I won't have time. And I'm like, and then she didn't have a spray tan. It's like, she was not prepared. But what people forget is she was all done up to go to the beach. We film a reality.
Exactly. Show. You're like, always in glam. The women are always in glam. They're always doing something for these moments. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, man, long story short, I mean, listen, I did what I thought was best to make it as special as possible for Lindsay, for making it special possible for me and the moment, you know, it was really complicated. I really worked really hard to make it special, but leading up, I don't think people really understood how much there was going
right.
on.
It's almost like there were way more cooks in the kitchen than people realize.
It's
right.
It's unbelievable. When I was talking to Lindsay's dad, he goes, I actually don't even realize how I don't think you were going to be able to pull it off. He didn't think I could do it. But you're right. Too many cooks in the kitchen. But I wanted just to say this. I did not have a panic attack. I know I made a joke about that on the show in my confessional. Mm-hmm. No, I was stressed out. I was
dehydrated.
I was exhausted. Not a panic attack. Okay. I still wanted to marry her. I just didn't want the surprise to be
right. Yeah, nothing to do with the relationship. Exactly. It was literally what was happening in your body. So the fact that there were too many cooks in the kitchen, there were so many people that knew about this. Does that impact, you know, who else you tell? Is that part of it?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to keep it, especially in the house and based upon everything I had been experiencing. I mean, just in general in the house, let's be honest, you need to be very careful with who you're sharing things with. And especially surrounding a lot of the girls, I didn't have that relationship to talk to, like, I didn't really talk to Danielle much about Lindsay and I's dynamic. I mean, since we had started dating, Danielle and Lindsay had been on a trip to Mexico, and Danielle basically was like, no, like she wasn't very, like didn't want to hear about it early on. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, over time, Danielle seemed to warm up to it, but I never felt fully comfortable being like, hey, Danielle, I want to do this sweet thing for Lindsay. Or what do you think? Like, that wasn't my relationship with Danielle. And probably because just the history of us and some of the dynamic going on.
Right.
It wasn't like to exclude Danielle. I just wasn't like that comfortable sharing stuff sometimes. So yeah, when it came to choosing who to tell, I was going to tell the guys, Kyle specifically, because he'd been down that road. Andrea, because we're very close and he loves me and Lindsay. And then Chris was another part that I just felt like it was appropriate. But the girls, and just in my mind, based upon some of the stuff that had gone on, I was like, it's not worth it. I need to make this the surprise. So
yeah. So I guess to some people, and obviously to Danielle and Robert, like grouping Danielle in with the girls is a sticking point, I think, because of Lindsay and Danielle's long friendship. And obviously they were having issues that summer, but I guess in hindsight, do you wish you had told her to avoid some of that? Or do you stand firm in your decision not to? I'm just curious, like with some space from that moment and kind of seeing some of the things play out, do you think about that differently at all?
I mean, I absolutely think about it differently. I mean, I think you can see it in the moment where Kyle's telling me at Dockers, you know, that Danielle was really upset. I mean, I'm in that moment, like it all hit me like, holy shit. That was never my intention to hurt mm-hmm. Danielle, make her feel excluded. You know, looking back, I can totally see how her showing up to Dockers and seeing other girlfriends of Lindsay's there without her knowing, I can totally see that being really hurtful. That was not my intent. And I would actually have the text messages I sent Lindsay's girlfriends. I never said I was getting engaged. I said her parents are coming as a surprise.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I still have the text to all of those girlfriends I texted. But the other part is they had to travel to be there. Danielle and the girls, I knew that they were already going to be at Dockers because that's what we were doing as a group anyway. And sure, it was an oversight a little bit. Looking back, yeah, I honestly wish I had maybe mentioned something to Danielle in a way that would have made her feel less shocked.
Yeah.
But truthfully, when you watch it back, I mean, even when I told her about the ring shopping.
Yeah. She screamed into the pillow.
Which was I actually almost don't even remember that moment because it was so jarring. That I almost just like put it out of my head that like,
yeah, okay. Makes sense.
But still, I wasn't feeling like totally confident to give Danielle like, hey, I'm doing this, that, because it just didn't feel like she wanted us to go that route anyway.
And Kyle told you at the party, Danielle had an intense reaction, just FYI, kind of gave you a heads up. But when you saw it on the show, how did that compare to what you sort of pictured in your head as to how she reacted? Like, did it meet what you thought it was? Was it more intense?
It was more intense than I ever envisioned. You know, Danielle obviously has her emotions. She's valid in feeling these feelings. I think it's hard to kind of watch that back and see, you can really see her struggling.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, Danya, one of Lindsay's best girlfriends, is like, listen, like, you need to kind of get your together here.
Totally.
And I appreciated that from Danya, her saying that, but yeah, it was surprising to watch back. It's such a big moment, such a special day for us. And the thought of that little part of it maybe overshadowing it. And Lindsay and I talk about it a lot. I mean, I'm not going to let that overshadow it, you know.
And you shouldn't.
It's something that I think Danielle hopefully will learn from. I've certainly learned a little bit from it. But my intention was never to like, this is something I'm going to use to like break Danielle's back with the relationship. It really wasn't that. But yeah. I can see how Robert and Danielle might... me looping her in with the rest, but based on her behavior all summer, she was spending a lot more time sharing and talking with that other group anyway.
Totally. And then kind of thinking about your conversation with Robert, and I mean, the last line of that conversation was pretty shocking to me. And when he said that you guys are people they used to know who are now engaged or something like that.
Yeah.
And then also just, I guess, pairing that with how Danielle was reacting to everything all summer. And then now knowing that like they were having their own troubles. To the fact that they ended up breaking up in the fall, does that reframe anything for you, again, in hindsight? Because obviously it's easier said than done.
I was always a big fan of Robert and Danielle. I mean, like I said to Danielle during the season, you know, she moved in after 2 months and none of us were like, break, whoa, whoa. Like we were always like, she's happy. Robert seems like a great guy. Follow your heart, go for it. So like, I was always very happy for them. I did pick up on, I think over the last summer, just Danielle was in a relationship, but really Robert was never around. And to no fault of each other, it just, that's the dynamic that they had. And that had to be really, really hard on Danielle. And I think Robert too, where you have the kind of this bizarre, you see each other one day a week relationship. And I think, yeah, like I think some of that pressure of they've been dating longer than us, maybe they haven't been as far along. And I think some of that comes out. I think, you know, whenever you're hurt and really upset, you know, I think it, people have different ways of expressing it. I just, at that point with Robert, you know, he hadn't been around a lot. He hadn't been witness to some of the things. Exactly. He's only hearing from Danielle's side. But I also, in that moment, I'm just like, how the hell did I get made to feel like I fucked this up? How the hell did I get myself in this position where the most special moment I had always dreamt of is now being clouded by who I told and how I told people? And it broke me. And that's my reaction. I mean, I stormed off. Luckily, Kyle kind of came to talk me off the ledge, but it still didn't calm me down. Because I think after that, I was like, why didn't I just do this privately? You know,
yeah, it sort of confirmed your worst suspicions of like, what could go wrong if I did this on the show with all these people who feel some type of way about us?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I will say, and this is touched on the reunion, I did talk to Robert like about a month ago, and I'm glad we spoke. I mean, he was very apologetic. And I think, you know, we had a really nice conversation because I do like Robert. You know, I don't know the full specifics of her and Danielle's history breakup and all that. I'm rooting for both of them at the end of the day, but I think it is weird watching it back. I do feel like they were coming from a place of like a lot of projection and kind of maybe almost some jealousy in a weird way of like where we're at. I just wish they would always just been happy for us.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I also think that something that got lost, obviously it's been mentioned, but like something that got lost in some of that reaction is like, you and Lindsay have known each other for 6 or 7 years at this point. You've been through a lot. Like she's been there for a lot for you and vice versa. And so there was, you guys could skip that getting to know you phase of a classic relationship. I just feel like that was not really taken into account with some of this stuff. And I just wish it was brought up more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, trust me, I wish the same. I think, you know, anybody like the true OGs who've been following us since the beginning, like you have, can understand it. I mean, even outside of, you know, seasons 1 through 6, I mean, Lindsay and I spent a ton of time together as friends and building this foundation and the trust we have and kind of the care for each other that was always there. And I just had always thought, okay, like they're happy. Now, if last summer we came in, we were like, we were season 4, chugging Fireball, yelling at each other, and then making out 10 minutes later, like
that could be cause for concern. Exactly.
Exactly. But, you know, I think people's cause for concern last summer is that we're being fake. We're putting on a show that we're perfect. And listen, I'll be honest. I came in last summer wanting to make sure we were in a good place. So there wasn't the arrows and the pointing because I had seen Kyle and Amanda and some of their ups and downs being the center of everybody's conversation. And I was like, we're actually really happy. Sure, we still fight. So it was hard because we couldn't win either way. We're too perfect or we're a mess.
Right. And I remember watching when you guys showed up to Winterhouse last season. And I was like, I sort of read some of that reaction. I was like, and I know that aired after you guys filmed Summer House, so you couldn't really have that in mind. But like, I saw that and I was like, I don't know how this season's going to go for Carl and Lizzie, just because I saw how some of the house was reacting to you guys as a couple.
Yeah, I mean, I was excited to go into Winter House. Lindsay was too. I think both of us were like, okay, we're in this new relationship. Yeah. We're happy. You know, Kyle and Amanda have been great friends. Luke was there. You know, obviously there was some tension still maybe from the previous summer, but I don't know. We're always trying to move forward and not dwell on old stuff. But we walked in and it was like pretty apparent that there was a lot being talked about behind us and our timeline and Austin and the wedding. And this is all stuff that Lindsay and I have talked about.
Of course you have. Yeah, exactly. You know,
it was tough, but I will say even there's moments on that Winter House, the 2-3 days we were there, we had a lot of fun. I don't think I was as privy to some of the negativity until after watching it back.
Sure.
Was surprising, but also sometimes not surprising.
Exactly. I hope that because this happened towards the end of the summer, the end of filming, once things wrapped up, once you got some space from the share house, do you feel like you guys were able to sort of like settle in the happiness of being an engaged couple? Like, were you able to really soak it in once some of the drama was not, you know, in the house with you?
Definitely. I mean, and like I said, there was plenty of supportive folks in the house and it was a special moment. I think we were just at that point after Labor Day, like most summers, we're burned out, just tired.
Yeah.
I knew I needed a break. So we actually went to, right after filming, we went to Los Angeles and we filmed that Marshalls commercial.
Right.
And then from there, we went to Europe for about 2 weeks. We went to London and then we visited Andrea in Verona, where he's from.
That.
So that was actually the best, kind of an engagement moon. We were really able to kind of enjoy ourselves, enjoy what the moment was. And then, you know, once we got back to New York, I think BravoCon kind of brought it back a little bit to where the summer was, a little bit of the, maybe the awkwardness or some of the weirdness. But I don't know. I mean, I'm so like, we're having kind of a second rebirth of enjoying the engagement again.
Good.
You know, I ran into someone on the street and they said, congratulations on your engagement. And I'm like, it was in August, but thank you.
But it's like, it's kind of like it just happened, you know, for so many people. Yeah.
So we get a second round of it.
That's nice.
It, you know, we're trying to enjoy the happy parts because it really, I'm really proud of how it all turned out.
Yeah, you should be.
So
yeah, good. When it comes to you and Kyle, Carl, because I talked to Kyle at the beginning of the season, and it's, and obviously things airing can change things. Filming the reunion can change things. What does that look like for you guys going forward? It seemed like both of you, you know, during Watcher Happens Live appearance, things like that, have expressed, you know, hope that there is a friendship there in the future. That might not be the same, but how are you feeling about that, about your friendship with Kyle right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the best place I've been in with him, I think, since last year, you know, before, you know, some of the tension started. And, you know, I give Kyle a lot of credit for being proactive and reaching out to me.
Good.
He's, you know, after the big dinner scene, which we do talk about at the reunion, and I'm proud of how that kind of was able to kind of resolve and move forward. But yeah, I mean, he did apologize over text, and him and I have talked a lot. We've gotten together two different times to try and continue to move forward, because there's just so much love between the two of us. I'm really, you know, I still have the Loverboy stuff up.
I see it. Yeah, amazing.
Still very.
You're still such a supporter of Loverboy, and you're an investor in it. So it's like,
yeah, I'm still very proud of what we've built. I always will root Kyle and Amanda on. I'm always, you know, their biggest fan. It's been, you know, I think once I've separated from the business, I haven't been with Loverboy since right before Christmas, which has been the best thing for me. And I think the separation will allow us to really find this newfound friendship. And like I said, watching it back and seeing Kyle's support in the pre-proposal moments and just trying to rally, you know, and support me and Lindsay, that really means a lot, because we've always been really highly supportive of Kyle.
Yeah, 100%.
So to get that in return was huge. So yeah, like, I have a different perspective now. I certainly need to take responsibility for how I communicated and handled a lot of my frustrations with him. And he's not a mind reader, and he deserved probably better, clear communication. And I quite frankly understood why he was frustrated with me, which is this all kind of spilled out into the summer, which, as Kyle always says, summer should be fun.
Yeah.
And not focused on the work drama or some of the personal shit that, like, it's kind of negative. I mean, I know people want to see us have a good time, but unfortunately it was just the way it came out. But yeah, like, I saw Kyle and Amanda in Ireland.
Oh, right. You guys were at the Everett's wedding. That looked so amazing.
OG season one, Everett, you know, and his now wife, Courtney, you know, we're very close to the four or the two of them. And then, you know, Kyle and Amanda were there. So it was actually, like, almost in a weird way, just what we needed. We realized, I think, being away from all the nonsense in the States and New York, just how much love there is. You know, we did run into them inadvertently in Dublin. We went to the Guinness factory and
amazing.
They had to be there at the same time. We knew they were there. We just were kind of doing our own thing. But we saw them, gave them a hug, said hello.
And good.
We saw them at the wedding. We sat next to them at dinner. Kyle, Amanda, and I and Lindsay, we danced all night. We ended up back in their hotel room having a late night, just talking. And, you know, I was crying. I know we were all crying at one point, because there is just a lot of love. And I'm always trying to find ways for us to kind of remember why this bond is here and what we've been through, and just try to work through some of the old, because there's still, you'll see on the reunion, there's still some old things that pop up.
Oh, interesting.
I think it was important to kind of address that and hopefully put it to bed forever.
And I also like to hear that also just from, like, the Lindsay Amanda aspect of it all, because I feel like that, I mean, we've taken Loverboy out of the equation, but I feel like, you know, Amanda and Lindsay have also had their issues, because I feel like, you know, Amanda is with some of the other girls in the house. So I'm happy to hear that, you know, you four can have a moment like that where it's kind of separate from the rest of the house, just for the sake of you guys being two couples who are long friends to be able to hang out and have fun together.
Yeah, no, I've always, I've said this before, but I think you know, I don't know why I remember, but after I fake married Kyle and Amanda at the end of season 5, yeah. I'm telling Amanda, like, I can't wait to find my person so we can do double dates. And I've always had this like notion that the four of us just should be hanging out all the time. And yeah, I mean, listen, we certainly have a bond and a friendship. I think moving forward, it's going to be a lot easier to do that. Good. But Lindsay and Amanda, I mean, they were dancing all night. They had a good time. I feel like they both were able to hear each other and have just quality conversation. And, you know, Kyle and I are, I think, like most guys can kind of like, you know, we're good, dude.
Brush it off. Yeah, totally.
I love you. But I will say that you'll see at the reunion, I think, you know, it was emotional. It was intense. But I'm proud of, I feel like, how Kyle and I were able to talk and address
it. Good. Carl, you mentioned that being, you know, not being involved day to day with Loverboy has been really good for you. It's like the best thing for you. And I'm just like so proud of you for how much growth you've shown. I mean, we've seen you go through so much on this show. And it's just, you just seem like you're in such a great place. You're so at peace with sort of where you are in life. And it makes me, and I'm sure a lot of people, very happy to see that. And, you know, I would love if you could just speak a little bit to, again, not having a lover boy in your life, but also how that ties in with like any more work you want to be doing in terms of like, again, using this huge platform you have to talk about your sobriety, talk about addiction. I saw you hung out with Zach Clark recently from The Bachelor. Yep. From The Bachelorette, who I love. I've interviewed him before. He's a great guy and he does some really cool work in that space. Yep. Talk to me about sort of what you're thinking about going forward with that, because you have such an opportunity, I think, to speak more about it.
Yeah. Well, no, thank you for saying that. I mean, it's no secret. I've been through a lot and I take that seriously, the opportunity that I have, which is ultimately to help other people,
yeah.
Which is something, a notion that I didn't realize until early on in my making a lot of changes and stopping drinking and really addressing my, you know, hard drug issues and mental health, that if I took better care of myself, that literally just inherently will help others, seeing that I've been able to take steps and to do things that are actually, you know, helping me out and being a better human and being healthier. So yeah, I've really taken a pause, obviously, from the Loverboy side, which has been great. You know, I've done a few things with some non-alcoholic brands, which has been kind of fun. But yeah, I'm actually doing some stuff with Talkspace, which
is awesome. A
mental health platform. You know, I'm really going to be leaning into Mental Health Awareness Month, which is right now in May. I'm working on a, you know, podcast centered around sobriety, a mini series that's going to be kind of a limited 6 to 8 episodes.
Cool.
Where we're going to talk, you know, like the Lala Kents of the world, even the Jason Waller from, you know, Laguna Beach.
Yeah, so Jason. Cool. Uh-huh.
There's a lot of different reality people. There's other musicians and artists and actors and friends that I think have stories that
I'm excited really for this. This will be yeah. awesome.
So yeah. I want to lean into that. And I do like, you know, whether it's Talkspace, hopefully is going to have some opportunities to do public speaking. You know, I'm not perfect at all. Like, I want to make sure I can facilitate and share and help connect, because it's not just me. Like, I, you know, I'm learning every day, but I want to help connect these dots, because I do have that audience that's now kind of looking for me to totally. Share more or talk more. I mean, I get messages probably 4 or 5 a day. Your story on Summer House, mm-hmm. getting sober, your loss of your brother, it's helped me. And like, that's what it's all about. Like, that's yeah. a gift that I don't take very lightly.
It sounds like now you're going to have more things to point people to, which is really cool. Like more tools, more things to listen to. And that's what it's all about, really.
Yeah, because I know it helped me. You know, I listened to, you know, I love sports. So I have a lot of athletes that have talked about their journeys. You know, Kevin Love, basketball player, he talked about his mental health. You know, some of the addiction stuff from like Bradley Cooper and mm-hmm. other celebrities. That's the stuff that I connect with. And I'm like, well, there's other people who, you know, identify more with watching Summer House and things going on in their life. So why not, you know, share mine? So yeah, I'm really going to lean into like the story and trying to be as authentic as possible. You know, Kyle has talked about a non-alcoholic lover boy, which, you know, we'll see what happens with that. You know, I'm not sure what's going to go on with that, but I've got a lot, you know, to look forward to. I think, you know, I did go to college for TV and film. I have produced a documentary. I produced a feature film. So I'm also looking at being involved in a movie on the producer side, which may film at the end of the year. So I'm, you know, I got some things cooking.
Lots of things cooking. Yeah. And I guess like to wrap it up a little bit, you know, I think there's been this sort of point of conversation that's sort of like, at what point do you outgrow a show like Summer House, or even just the lifestyle that's involved in filming? Obviously you can be sober on this show and have fun. And as you prove this summer, but like, I guess, like, how are you thinking about what does the future look like as when it comes to you and maybe some of the other longer serving cast members on the show? Like, what does it, what does that look like? What do you hope it looks like? Because I think that there's this sort of big question mark of like, it's an interesting conversation that I don't know what the answer is to it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think Kyle, Lindsay, or myself could have ever imagined after season one, we would have been at season seven. I think we were just hoping to get to the next summer. You know, listen, it's such a big part of our life and it's been so authentic because that's what we do in the summer. You know, I just had always had hoped it would evolve and grow with us, which I feel like Summer House has.
Yeah, I think so too.
I do think I'd like to think there's another year or two left on our belts. I'm learning to come into my own about how to talk and be emotional and navigate living in this house. But I've watched myself back and there's a lot more that I'm like, okay, like I want to come back and I'm going to be a lot more vocal, a lot more opinionated. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to run away from challenges. So I think there's more to me wanting to be out there. I think Lindsay and I think our relationship is interestingly, it'll be interesting kind of in that second year because we do have our own personalities. Lindsay still is, I mean, one of my favorite reality TV people.
Oh, you're both very good at what you do, but I think that she is like...
It's unbelievable. She's so dynamic. She's got a big personality. But I also, I think as she, you know, navigates some of this negativity, I really hope there's a future where Lindsay can really just enjoy herself and not feel like there's a lot of commentary about everything she's doing. So I don't know. I like to think we can keep, you know, the OGs.
I hope so.
For another year. And the Sam, the Corys, the Gabbies, the Chris's, maybe Andreas and Luke's, you know, get nothing shade at the other girls. I think we need more guys. And I like having mix it in with some younger folks who still like to do crazy shit and get weird.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't do that seasons 1 through 5, we wouldn't have a season 7. So.
There we go. I mean, you guys are why we, if you looked at season 1 and 2 of that show, you might not have thought we would get to season 7. So I think it's an accomplishment in and of itself. So to finish us off, wedding plans. What's the latest? When's it going to happen? Do you want it to be filmed? Where are we at right now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we want to have the cameras there if they're willing to be there. Fingers are crossed. I say that because, you know, you've seen the journey, this.
Let's get to the end. Yeah, let's get to the loop. Yeah.
And I've always been, again, inspired by Kyle and Amanda I give them a lot of credit. I mean, Kyle proposing to Amanda is still one of my favorite moments on the show's history. And their wedding day was also one of my favorite moments in the show and being such a special part of that. I think that makes like our show just like it has a thread, it has a depth, it has an authenticity to it. And the thought of being able to showcase some of our wedding and next steps, I'm all about it. We're getting married in Mexico in November. We are actually going to go down in June to kind of look at everything and make sure we're tasting all the food, checking out the mixology. We're going to have mocktails. We're going to have performances. So yeah, we're moving everything along. I think Lindsay can throw an event like that.
Listen, that's her background, you know? Yeah.
She's good at that. But, you know, her and I, she's done an amazing job. She's definitely done more than I have. But I'm trying to be a supportive fiance and trying to help as much as I can. And yeah, it's really up to now. We're about to send invitations out. We're finalizing the invite list. We've been tweaking the website that we have, which you'll see soon, hopefully. And yeah, wedding planning is not for the faint of heart, I must say. We definitely had
a
few wedding fights already, but it's brought us closer.
and that's par for the course. That is par for the course. Well, Carl, thanks so much for being so generous with your time today. Again, it's been so fun watching you guys on this show for so long, and I hope it continues. And I'm glad that, again, it seems like some of these issues that we've seen on the show this season, some of them have been settled, some of them not, but, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah, no, Gibson, I always appreciate, you know, all your support. And obviously you're, you know, an OG of the show too. You're like our 13th cast member in a way. but no, it's been season 7 has definitely been interesting. I think the audience really will hopefully watch the reunion and get a real glimpse of some of the things that we talk about and how it's moved forward. But I will say after walking out of there, I feel pretty good about the core of what was going on. I feel really good about it. So it's not going to be, it's going to be this roller coaster of a reunion, but
those are the best ones are the best ones are. So
thanks again for,
all right, we'll talk soon. Yeah. We'll talk soon. All right. Bye. Carl.
Thanks, Gibson.
Thanks for tuning in to We Should Talk. I hope you enjoyed the interview. You can find out more about In the Know at inthenow.com. You can follow me, Gibson John, at Gibsonoma on Twitter and Instagram. And you can listen to all of our interviews, past and future, by searching We Should Talk wherever you get your podcasts. Hope to see you next time.